Pacifico in Southern California.
I'm Robert Leonard.
I'm General Kalen Shaw.
I'm Phil Hendry.
And this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, I like this. This is, this is then Lacuna Coil with a female lead singer who...
Stepped all over it!
Shut up.
You did. You stepped on the vocal.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm here. The female lead...
You stepped on it again.
Well, maybe I want to step on it, you know?
You can't want to step on it, Margaret, either. You wanted to talk it up.
Why do you have to tell the audience that?
Margaret, that's what you wanted to do. You wanted to talk the thing up so that it sounded professional.
Yes, I did, but you don't have to hold me up as an example of someone who is stumbling and fumbling.
That was great. You said you want to talk it up.
I heard you the first time.
Margaret, you did a pretty good job there, but as soon as the vocal came in, you had to have completed what you were saying before the vocal hit, and then you would sound like a professional broadcaster, you know, and...
Yeah, well, that's the way a lot of them do it.
Oh, is that the way a lot of them do it? I was making my point about Lacuna... Try it again. Go ahead, try it again.
Bam, Ms. Graham.
Go ahead, let's just do it again.
Oh, well, excuse me, Phil, I don't want to interrupt your flow here.
Go ahead, just try it again.
This, then, is Lacuna Coil. I'm Margaret Gray, and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. For the next several minutes, we're going to hear a program that is so edgy, really, so revolutionary, so deep in talent. It'll amaze you. It really will. I feel like I want to keep talking, you know.
No, but you got to talk up to the vocal.
And so, as I said to you before, many of the...
There it is.
Well, this is horse dung.
Anyway, thank you very much, Margaret. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, that's a waste of time.
Oh, was it a waste of time? You know what? I'd love to see you try that.
No, nobody's going to try it because it's not necessary. We don't have to do that anymore.
Ms. Anna, did you talk up the vocals and everything like that?
Yeah, at a certain point in my career, I did.
When was that? Got to do top 40, right? Yeah, when you do the top 40.
Well, top 40 or any format of radio where you got to talk it up. You know, like we used to have middle of the road radio.
And you did that, huh?
I was on Adult Contemporary, yeah, what we call Chicken Rock. Yeah, you talk it up. But nobody was really good at it. When I was coming up, I was, you know, in the media markets, nobody was really good at it. The best I ever heard, all the guys that were really good at it were in L.A.
Now, you were talking about the real Don Steele. What is that? That's the name of the band, right?
What do you mean, what is that? That's a gentleman's name.
I know that, but is that his name?
Yeah, real Don Steele was on, when I was growing up, he's on KHJ, and he was the best I ever heard at hitting what we call a post, which was to talk a song up. And there is a song by the Rascals called Good Lovin'. And it starts out with one, two, three, and then they start singing.
I don't know, that's the, yeah, I've heard that song.
Yes, one, two, three, good loving, do-do-do-do-do-do. I know the song.
Yeah, but they don't do it like that. It's more good.
Oh, it's more good, is it?
Bud, where do you learn to talk, man?
I mean, it's better.
It's better than what?
It's better than the way you just did it, Margaret. You're a good singer, but they don't go one, two, three, do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay?
Oh, Mike, Phil made me look as if I had muscular dystrophy. Fuck.
Hey, Margaret.
I don't like that, Phil.
Hold on.
So, what I was trying to say was, why don't you find that song, bud?
Let's call it again.
It's called,
Go one, two, three. One, two, three.
No, it's called Good Lovin' by the Rascals. What he would do, I was in grade school, and I heard him... One, two, three. And in the span of that one, two, three, he'd give the time. He'd say, welcome to the Real Don Steele Show. It's 3 o'clock in Los Angeles. That's what they used to call it.
What does that mean, Los Angeles?
That's what, Boss Radio, right?
Yeah, Boss Radio. So he'd say, it's 3 o'clock in Los Angeles. I don't think he said his name, but he got all of that in the span of one, two, three. So can you...
You don't tell me you're going to try it, are you?
Well, I mean, I don't think I'm going to be successful if that's what you're asking me, but have we got it, bud?
Yeah, I'm going to find it here.
Hey, watch it, okay?
Don't be a smartass. Everybody's putting the pressure on me.
All right, I don't mean to pressure you. Just it's probably put it under artists and you'll find it Young Rascals or Rascals. And so that to me, if you ask me who the greatest of all time was in hitting the post and talking up a record, whatever the hell you want to call it, timing, the best I ever heard was Real Don Steele. Here are the, do we have that?
Oh, we got People Gotta Be Free and then A Beautiful Morning.
Is that right? People Gotta Be Free and then.
Well, God, man.
Well, what is it called, bud?
It's called People Gotta Be Free.
No, the one I want.
No, it's called Good Lovin', and we ain't got it.
Well, then you better get it. I know we've got it somewhere. Look under Young Rascals. What the hell are you trying to pull, Henry? They might be under two different names. There was the Rascals, there was the Young Rascals. I don't know, man. Wait a second.
All right, I got them.
No. Young, why? Okay.
Why what?
What? It starts with a Y.
Oh.
All right, let me see.
All right, so that was the only reason why I brought that up. And Margaret, I know that you were, did you see that there? There's Young.
Yeah, see, I got Young Money, Young Rascal, Girl Like You. Groovin'. What about Groovin'?
No.
What about, here it is.
Oh, yes, here we go. Now listen to this, and in the span of this 1, 2, 3, General, the real Don Steele said, it's 3 o'clock in Los Angeles, okay?
Yeah.
So here it is.
1, 2, 3, good.
Okay.
Well, what the hell is that?
What? I don't understand.
When they say 1, 2, 3,
yeah, in the span of 1, 2, 3, he says 3 o'clock in Los Angeles.
That's why he's good.
Well, what was the guy? You know, if these, I know these disc jockeys, especially back then, they took a handful of speed and maybe a glass of, Johnny Walker Blue. Shit.
Hey, let's not attribute to the guy something that may not be true. Let's just try it, okay?
But you do it, Mr. Ernest. Say 3 o'clock in Los Angeles.
All right, here we go.
What?
It's 3 o'clock in Los Angeles.
Well, you almost did it. Yeah, I almost did it, Mr. Ernest, but not quite.
No, Phil, you're not real Don. You don't think you're real Don Steele, do you?
No. Yeah, that's right. Every night I go to bed thinking I'm really... No. I'm just telling you.
Try it again.
I don't want to keep doing it.
Come on, try it again. You'll get it.
Yeah, come on, Mr. Ernest.
Hey, man, I'm not your slave.
I said to try it again.
All right, fine.
Just try it one more time, Phil.
All right, here we go. So you say 3 o'clock in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
What?
It's 3 o'clock in Los Angeles. Jeez.
No, you suck.
Yeah.
All right, fine, but you can see how good you have to be.
Well, I'm not even sure he was... You swear to God he did it.
Yeah, he did it. Let me try it one more time.
Yeah, try it. Do it as fast as you can.
What?
3 o'clock in Los Angeles!
Well, you know what, did he scream it out like some kind of out-of-control idiot like that?
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to sound groovy, you know, like you're all with it, and it's another thing to sound like you're out of control and you're all just jacked up and weird on a mixture of chemicals.
No, he didn't. He sounded cool, it sounded perfect, it was well-timed, it was all good, man. So anyway, that was the real Don Steele. How did we get into this?
We're talking about timing.
Yeah, timing, you know.
Well, there was that song, a tick of the timing. You see, timing, dock. You know that song, General?
Yeah, well, I did, until you started singing it. Now I don't want to remember it ever again.
You're a real slob, aren't you?
I'm kidding around, God.
All right. You know better than to kid her.
Yeah.
Who's her?
Sorry, Margaret, but...
I'm simply singing a song that had to... Jesus.
Today on the show, ladies and gentlemen, we have... I don't know how to say this. I dealt with it during the pre-show.
Well, you didn't deal with it well during the pre-show.
Well, maybe I didn't deal with it well during the pre-show, but some relationship issues have come up for me, and we're going to have on the show Dr. Jim Sadler. We're also going to have Dr. Ed Elcott, who will also deal with relationship issues, and we haven't had the doc on the show talking about those things.
Yeah, Dr. Elcott, you know, from Elcott the Next Step, is going to come on and talk to Mr. Henry about...
You've got to talk to Mr. Henry about breaking up with his girlfriend.
You ass. You weren't supposed to say that.
All right, it's okay. What are you trying to pull anyway?
That's what I want.
It's okay. You know, it's not, you know, it is right now. There's a situation going on. All right.
For God's... Phil, don't fumble about and slobber about like that.
Phil, you're slobbering all over the place.
I'm not slobbering.
Well, you're sitting there and just shuffling your Buster Browns going, oh, no, it's not really like that.
Now, you want to go back to that 1, 2, 3...
Yeah, do you want to go back to 1, 2, 3?
Will you guys stick it with the 1, 2, 3?
I'm just saying, Phil, if the theme of the program, if you really want to get down to it and say that the theme of the program is good loving, you know what good loving is, then by God, yes, let's get to it. And baby, get to it. And you know what I'm saying? So what I'm thinking is this. Perhaps if you were able to hit the post on that, and, 1, 2, 3, 3 o'clock in Los Angeles, I'm Phil Henry, and I know what love is.
Hey, you know what, Phil, that's not a bad idea. You know, one of the things...
That's the dumbest ass thing I've ever heard in my life.
I'm trying to fit the thing in.
Yeah. See, what you're doing is she's melding the whole bit.
No, it's an asinine idea. I'm not going to do it. All right, folks, world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We're going to have coming up later.
One, two, three.
Come on.
It's the Phil Henry Show, and relationships can be difficult, Phil.
Turn it off, man.
But you should have said 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
3 o'clock, Bus Evans.
You blow.
Phil Henry here, and we gotta have to get over. Let's do some traffic. Bob Bakian out there with the traffic right now.
Hey, Phil, I'm Bill, and I'll tell you what, you got it right. You got it right, and I'll tell you that every 5 days a week, I'll tell a guy that he's gotta stick that breath. All right, now we're down freeway. We got a 50 on grid, and there's a 50 on trader with a crap run. A guy out there right now trying to have a pop. So if you're coming down to 10 this morning, by God, you're gonna honk out, and you're gonna hang out there with about 5,000 miles. It'll be until 5 o'clock tonight. Over there in the 12, and the 12 is what? It's slow going, that's all I can say, because I'm cheering tonight. And Jerry Jesus there. Jerry was well up and he was down there. Let's go out to Sky Boy.
Hey, Bob, I got a little boy, Jalen, and the Sandler twins around here. I am the Pacific Coast Highway to win land. I'm going to stand a car bomb. A car bomb just blew up and blew up the five surface of Dan. Let's go to Boy Sky Beam and Swing Dan. I don't want to go out there. I don't want to go out there. I don't want to go out there. I don't want to go out there.
Car bomb. In Los Angeles.
Wingmer's Cleaners has been in the San Bobel area for 15 years, cleaning shirts, cleaning shorts, cleaning jockey shorts, and jockey's uniforms. Hi, I'm Jerry Wingmer, and with me and my family, we get together, we use that washing machine, we use our dryer, we use our iron, and we use that dry cleaning liquid that so many people hate because it's abrasive and puts holes in their shirts, and in their pants, and in the crotch of their underwear. But we use it because it is a dry cleaner par excellence, and at Wingmer Cleaners, all we want to do is make your shirts look as clean as they possibly can look, even though there's big gaping holes in them when you get them home. Wingmer's Cleaners, we've been with you for 15 years, with you, not cleaning your shirts. We've just been hiding out behind your house and looking in your bedroom window. I hope you don't mind. My name is Clarence Wingmer.
I'm Dolores Wingmer.
And I'm Bob Wingmer. And together we make the Wingmers.
Wingmers.
Wingmer's Cleaners. Wingmer's Cleaners. Cleaning your shirts, your shoes, your pants, your jockey shorts for the last 15 years. That would make it 2001. Yes, your pants are clean, but there's a gaping hole in the crotch. Wingmer's Cleaners. I hope you join us. Hi, I'm Sal Bob. You know, every time we show you this beautiful selection of caskets, we get more phone calls than ever before. That's because Sal Bob's caskets coming stacked just the way they are here, and you get the mahogany as well as a brand new plastique dynamo. They're beautiful, they're affordable, and when it comes time to put your loved one in a beautiful, beautiful box, a beautiful casket or coffin, Sal Bob is the man. We get calls from people all over the world who say, what kind of a box can you put my grandmother in? Let's talk turkey, huh? We'll Skype you in, we'll show you exactly what we have. We don't fool around. We don't play around with it. You can always depend on us. I'll talk straight to you, even if it's over Skype. Even if we FaceTime, I'll show you exactly the box that you get. No lie.
Big deal. So what?
What is that supposed to mean?
What kind of a selling point is that? So wow, I get the box that I picked out. So what?
So call me Sal Bob.
Yeah, okay, Sal.
I'm gonna fuck it. Hey! Sal Bob. Coffins and box lunches. Ow! Sal Bob. Coffins. I hope you pay us a visit and climb in one of these babies. Sal Bob. Coffins at the coffin corner of 5th and Elm. Get it? Sal Bob.
World famous Phil Henry Show at the El Pacifico in Southern California. And here's Phil.
All right, man. So, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I know that standing by we have our fine, fine feathered friend, Dr. Jim Sadler, who's at his office in San Diego. And Dr. Sadler, you were there this morning. You heard a little bit of the pre-show. And the people who are backstage pass members heard the pre-show. It was not faked emotion.
I could tell very much that it was not faked emotion, Phil.
I felt all of it.
Well, let me say this. For people who are not up to speed on it, Phil this morning during the pre-show revealed to, and I'll just get my nurse, Carolyn, you can turn the TV down just a little bit. We thank God that we're light. There's not a big patient load right now, Phil, and I can devote some time to what we're talking about.
I appreciate it.
I heard your pre-show, and I heard the feeling and the emotion in what you were saying. And, relationships are hard. They're very, very hard. But I have to tell you, and I would ask anyone that's sitting there, Dr. General Shaw. You're not a doctor, are you, General?
No, I wish I was. No, just a general.
All right, I just wanted... And you're not a doctor, are you, Margaret?
No, I'm just the mother and a writer, a journalist.
All right, Margaret Gray, I know that Bud and Robert are not doctors.
Well, how do you know?
Don't worry about it, I know.
All right, look, no time for jokes, okay?
All right, so...
Well, it's kind of insulting.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult you, whatever your name is.
Bud!
Bud, there's a lot I have to remember here. Phil, when you got to turn the TV down, Carolyn, okay? Because I got a nurse here, she's gorgeous. And I'm married, although my wife is 30 years younger than me, so...
Dr. Sadler, do we have to hear...
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you turn it down? All she does all day long is file her nails. So, that's right. So, just turn it down.
Do we need to call you back?
No, you do not. No, you do not. Thank you very much. I said, that's what I said, all day long, you file your nails. What? Oh, what? Hold on for a minute. Can you give me a nut shot?
Look, Sadler, if you need to take care of business...
What do you mean, Sadler?
We can hear everything you're saying to that nurse.
I'm sorry.
Let's just pay attention to what we're doing here.
I apologize, Phil. Let's talk a little bit about what was going on with you this morning on your free show. Phil told the audience that he'd broken up with his girlfriend, Lauren, temporarily or permanently. I'm not really sure, Phil. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. There's a song that, as long as you're playing that good lovin', there's a song that reminds me an awful lot of what you're going through, and that is a song called Trophies by Young Money. It starts out dun 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 dun. Do you know the song, Phil?
I do. I'm not sure.
Well, don't, but do you know the song?
Yeah, I know the song.
Yeah, I know it. We played it around here for a while.
Okay, great. If Bud has it there, I'd love to hear...
Well, okay, but I think Good Lovin's probably...
No, I don't want to hear Good Lovin'. I want to hear... I want to hear the song Trophies, because that's the way men look sometimes. We there you go, right there. You hear that, Phil?
Yes, I do hear it.
Okay. Every time a man is sexually aroused, put on pause. Every time a man is sexually aroused...
May I interrupt here for a moment?
All right.
This is not some kind of a gag, right?
No, it's... Why do you people... on this show only, I go on a lot of radio shows. The only one where they ask it is it a gag?
Well, because the... Margaret, go ahead.
Because the starting... Phil's problem is simply emotionally dealing with the ending of a relationship, and you're playing music. I'm not quite...
Well, then let me explain it.
Yeah, but see...
No, let me explain it. All right?
All right, Dr. Sadler.
I mean, you can jump in and criticize all you want, but first let me try to explain it.
Fair enough.
You know.
No, that's fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, oh, good. It's fair enough. Would you turn the god? She sits here all day long doing her nails and... okay.
Dr. Sadler, if you're distracted...
No, it's just that she made a motion like she had a fake slingshot.
What happened?
She made a motion that...
You know, this is very childish.
My receptionist made a motion like she had a fake slingshot, and she aimed it right for my left testicle, and she knows that's the one that is made from a partial alloy.
Isn't that funny?
I'm not trying to be funny.
What do you mean a partial alloy?
I injured myself years ago, and they put a plastic one in there.
I had no idea. I'm sorry, Dr. Sadler.
No, about that.
Look, Sadler, we're not laughing. You're the only one.
Well, in case you are. So, and she takes a fake slingshot, and you pretend like you have a fake slingshot?
All right, so why don't I let you go, and you can talk to your nurse.
No. I swear to God, I'll pay attention. All right, so, first of all, what I want to say is this, Phil. I'm so sorry. I'm laughing, and I shouldn't be laughing.
No, this is starting to sound ridiculous. You're trying to help Mr. Henry with the problem.
I'm trying to help Mr. Henry with the problem. The reason why I love the song Trophies is at the moment of arousal for a man, and only at the moment of arousal for a man. When he has achieved the full arousal, it's as if this is blasting not only through his head but through the entire bedroom. See what I'm saying, Phil? So it's yes. I can turn it off. Turn it off because I don't want to listen to him. He's irrelevant to.
But that's Young Money.
I don't give a sweet.
All right, so the music is what?
That is what goes through a man's head and through his mind and through his soul when he achieves the fullness of sexual, not just arousal, but the full, if I may say, Phil?
The full what?
The full erection.
What is? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, I'm trying to explain it, and I'll do it again if you want me to.
You're talking about when a guy gets an erection, this music starts playing?
In his head, in his mind, in his soul. It's as if I'm very turned on, I'm looking at a woman, I got a full erection, and now, time to go to work.
Uh-huh.
Well, what the fuck is wrong with...
All right.
Why'd you hang up?
The F word. We're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
What about you and your relationship problems?
I don't need to talk about them right now. Sadler's got to deal with a nurse.
She has a... But he says it's a fake slingshot. It may not be.
Good luck with that one, Doc. A bunch of
handshakes. World-famous Phil Henry Show on the El Pacifico in Southern California. Be right back. I tell y'all motherfuckers, man, this shit
is not a love song. I'm Lloyd Grover for Sweet Farm. Larry has been acting a fool. If Larry predeceases me, I know I can park him at Sweet Farm. They have a beautiful memorial garden. Or if Larry just continues to act the way he's acting, I can put him at Sweet Farm in his own room with his own little balcony where he can pretend he's Napoleon giving speeches and the things that Larry likes to do. Because I do feel my son is this close to a full and complete relapse from 1981, when he was only 7, and since then he's been doing fine.
We'll take it from here. Larry Grover, or whoever you are, Sweet Farm is for you.
Sweet Farm. Won't you come to Sweet Farm? You won't? You have to be paid to come here? Do I look like some chump?
Sweet Farm.
Famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Here's Phil.
All right, thanks very much, General Galen Shaw, with us.
Now, I want to know why you did not complete that segment.
We completed the segment.
Yeah, but you're supposed to have Dr. Sadler. I mean, yeah, Dr. Sadler on far more.
Let me tell you something. We have these guests on for as long as they're useful to us. And if they're no longer useful to us, who gives a hot holy? He's talking about the fact that he's got a plastic testicle.
Oh, Phil, you can laugh all you want, and that's what you did. You giggled your way through that.
I'm not the guy playing Young Money's trophies to describe what happens inside a guy's mind when he gets an erection, okay?
What a child, Phil. This is what you sound like. You see, people are out there, they're looking up to you, for example.
Why? I'm sorry I let you guys down.
Wait. People are looking to you, for example, of mature behavior. Now, you've suffered a shock, Phil, a debilitating shock. One that... Few men can recover from 100%. Yes, we all do recover, but men are particularly fragile, Phil. And I feel...
Why don't you take a rag, soak it, and stick it in there?
You want me to stick it...
Hey, come on!
Hold on.
Don't.
Don't you ever talk to me like that.
Margaret, well, don't give a speech, okay?
What do you mean, give a speech? I'm trying to explain to you what's going on in your psyche.
Yeah, and the whole, you know, the trophies. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, when you get an erection...
You know what? You guys are as goofy as that guy Sadler if you buy that crap. That's number one. Number two, what happened over the last few days between myself and the lady and... it's really... I'm having a very hard time dealing with this publicly.
Look, you did it on the pre-show.
I did it on the pre-show because it's a select few... It's a select few group of people.
Ladies and gentlemen, you should know right now, Phil started to cry during the pre-show.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me or something?
I didn't bawl like a baby, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, but you did cry, Mr. Embry.
And what is wrong with that? What is wrong with a man having feelings and sensitivity?
Well, here we go again. A woman is the first one that'll say to a guy, oh, you should have sensitivity. And then the minute we start bawling, you all just take off for the hills with your skirts flying over your heads, so the first guy that sees what you got underneath that dress, you go ahead and give it up, and we're there bawling. Oh, what the hell are you laughing at? You know it's true.
I never quite looked at it that way.
Oh, a lot of ways that's true, Miss Henry.
You're the guys who were giving me crap here a minute ago.
Well, yeah, but if we start to cry the way the sensitive woman wants us to be sensitive, and we start crying, and then she takes off for the hills with her dress flying up in the air, and the first guy that gets a peek, she's all giving it up for the guy.
Unfortunately, you know that's true, Phil.
No, I don't know it's true. I don't know that anything of what you just said is true. In fact, I don't know that anything of what you just said happens on the planet Earth. Maybe another planet, not this one. All right.
Well, that, you know what? That is the most insulting.
Well, I'm very sorry that it's insulting. Let's get over to Dr. Ed Elcott, who's going to join us here on the Phil Henry Show for the first time in many a moon. And Dr. Elcott, I'm happy to have you with us because we rarely get a chance to interact with you on personal issues. A lot of times you're just, you're pitching the religion, right?
Phil, that's correct.
And where are you?
Say that again, Phil.
Where are you right now, sir?
Oh, we're at Walnut Paul University. I'm here in the faculty garden. And we have some students here. We're having a lunch, and I'm talking to as many young people as I can today because we have our opportunity to take the senior class from Walnut Paul University and to meld it to the ideals of Elcott, the next step. And that is what I'm hopeful to do here. There are a number of young people that have gathered. They're talking to Dr. Arnsbarger. And we're hoping that we can tell them about Elcott.
Now, when he was talking, Dr. Elcott, about Elcott, the next step, and Dr. Arnsbarger is talking about what?
Dr. Arnsbarger is a traditional Freudian psychologist, and so he will be speaking with these young people about the applications of Freudian psychology to their relationships. What we like to do with Elcott, the next step, is to apply Elcott to that issue.
Are you got me talking to him?
Well, Bud, right?
Yeah, his name's Bud.
Yeah, Bud. I hope so, but right now the line is very long for the Dr. Arnsbarger. We don't have anyone, and here comes Dr. Jeffries is going to... Hello, Dr. Jeffries. Can you speak a little louder, because I'm on the air with Phil Henry.
I was going to say that since everyone is over-talking here to stop talking about the pen.
All right.
We didn't hear any of that.
Well, unfortunately, I did. What do you want to do? Hold on for just a moment, Phil. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Time's wasting. All right, let's do it. Unfortunately, Dr. Jeffries told me that since we have no students here who want to talk about Elcott, the next step, as a relationship, as a relationship vehicle, that we should talk about cats or pets. So,
what do you mean? You're talking about pets?
Yes, we're talking about pets. This is what I'm left with. Let's see.
Okay.
Just listen to me, all right?
Why are you talking about pets?
Because this is the topic they wanted me to talk about, pets. Talking about cats. If you have a cat and you are involved in Elcott, the next step, be assured that there is no animal sacrifice. Many have attributed animal sacrifice to Elcott, the next step, who are looking to degrade and even to implode our organization. It's very unfair. We do not have animal sacrifice in Elcott, the next step. The way that Elcottians deal with cats is to give them a dish of milk and some of the kibble bits or the Friskies. I can't read that. Friskies chow. Elcott, the next step is...
Now, Dr. Elcott, I don't mean to interrupt you. What are you doing?
I'm giving... This is our pitch on how to deal with pets if you're in Elcott, the next step. This is...
All right, this is not what we want to hear.
No, I didn't think it was, but I'm doing the very best I can with what the university has given me, and I'm really upset. I know you're telling me I've got to talk about cats, so I'm going to go ahead, Phil, and I will deal with your relationship issue straight up as an Elcottian. Don't talk. Don't breathe on me. Don't ever breathe on me.
You can't do it.
Dr. Jeffrey is here. Would you want to talk to Phil Henry?
I don't know who Phil Henry is.
Dr. Jeffrey, hi, it's Phil Henry.
Hi. I'm talking to the man here to talk about the pet. I'm the president of Walnut Paul University.
Yes, you're the president of Walnut Paul University, and I can barely understand you. And when I do understand you, you're standing about 2 inches from my nose, and I can smell everything on your breath.
I'm sorry, but
I'm going to talk relationships.
The other man is...
The other man is a Freudian.
Phil, I don't know. You're going to have to make a decision. We're going to talk to Dr. Elcott here briefly. Go ahead, Ed.
Go ahead, Ed. I've got to get all my materials out.
All right, well, let me tell you what was going on with me.
Well, you're going to talk about pets, though. Is that what you're going to talk about?
Not anymore, no. I'm telling Jeffrey to go ahead, get out of here. No, we're not going to talk about pets anymore. I'm not talking about cats.
A saucer of milk.
I said, give your cat a saucer of milk. There, that's the Elcott way. Big deal.
Well, what's the big deal with that? Everybody gives a cat a saucer of milk.
That's my point. You know.
Guess what? Here, I'll take it. Guess what? You're wrong, because if you give a cat a saucer of milk, it gets the runs. It gets, like, it comes out liquid, and it's gosh.
What are you talking about?
You never should give a cat, milk. It comes out his ass.
I'm told by this Dr. Jeffries, who heads Wampaw, that if you give a cat milk, it comes out as diarrhea. Is that correct?
Why are you asking us?
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Well, you seem to be the logical people to...
That is uncalled for, Doctor.
I'm sorry. All right. Phil, I'm now in relationship mode. I have my materials here.
Talk about a cat.
I'm not talking about a goddamn...
Dr. Elcott, I appreciate you being with us.
Please don't go. No one talks to me.
Dr. Ed Elcott here on the Phil Henry Show.
You know, you're hanging up on an awful lot of guests.
No, I'm not hanging up on an awful lot of guests. I have to get stuff done, okay?
Well, Phil, don't yell at her.
Were you yelling at me like that?
Every freaking time I hang up on a guest, you're hanging up on a lot of guests. We move things along on this show, on the Phil Henry Show, okay?
Yes, sir. You ought to see him waving his hand around, folks. He looks as if he's lost control of the upper neurological web in his body. It's just all... Bleh.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you look like you're all... that octopus guy from Spider-Man.
Yeah, Dr. Octagon. Is that right? Okay, well, now we got that one settled. We're going to be right back here on the Phil Henry Show with... We're going to be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show with our next guest, whoever the hell that is. We're going to have Art Priego on, and Art Priego is going to be talking. What do you do when you have a passenger that's standing up in the aisle screaming at people, calling them bitch? We had Bob Green yesterday.
Yeah, well, this is the real deal. We're going to be talking to a real pilot coming up next.
And also later on, Dave Oliver makes a very quick visit. He will be on stage at the LA Improv on Phil Henry and Friends, the LA Improv Lab, Friday night.
Jesus. Hi, folks. It's Phil Henry for our Phil Henry and Friends, which is happening this coming Friday night at the Hollywood Improv Lab. And I'll tell you, it's going to be our last show of the year. You know, we do a show on the first Friday of every month at the Hollywood Improv Lab. This will be our last show of the year, and we have a terrific lineup. We've got my very close personal friend, Fraser Smith. We have got Nick Rutherford. We have Valerie Gregson. And we have Henry Phillips. It's happening on Friday night at 8 o'clock at the Hollywood Improv Lab at the Hollywood Improv in Hollywood, California. And if you want to get the link for tickets, all you have to do is go to our homepage. There is a Phil Henry and Friends Improv Lab link there for you to hook up and get some tickets. You can also find that link on our Facebook fans page. That is Phil Henry Fans, PHANS, Facebook.com/PhilHenryFans.
Now, you ball that up anymore, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, nobody understands a word you're saying.
All right, I'm sorry.
Do it all again.
What do you mean, do it all again?
Who are the people that are going to be on the stage with you?
All right, we have Fraser Smith, we have Henry Phillips, we have Nick Rutherford, we have Valerie Gregson, and we have Dave Oliva, and we have me.
There you go. And where's the link?
The link is on our homepage, on our banner, and
yeah. And where else?
And it's gonna be
hurry!
It's gonna be at the face. It's gonna be at the face.
It's gonna be at the face.
It's but the other link is at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans PHANS.
Damn, man, I'm getting so excited.
Yeah.
Say, have you got your 1-year subscription to the world famous Phil Henry Show? The reason why I say is, in order to get $150 worth of free Best of Phil Henry downloads, you simply must have a 1-year subscription. Yes, when you sign up for 1 year as a subscriber with a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, you'll get $150 worth of downloads free. Now, this is something that we are very reluctant to do. We don't like to just turn things over for free. It gives us gas. It causes, well, rectal bleeding. Not much, but...
Oh, God.
I'll take over, General. No, it doesn't.
Well, it doesn't me, anyway.
So, get your BSP. 1 year subscription earns you $150 worth of free downloads. All of our best of CD, all of our best of downloads from the best of CDs available to you through the Phil Henry Show website.
PhilHenryShow.com.
Right in my ear, man.
Sorry.
Ah!
year.
All right. Art Griego is a pilot and now retired, a good friend of ours. And Art has, for the longest time, been consulting with us on matters having to do with aviation. This is not really an aviation matter, Art. It's more of a question of, I guess, what the control a pilot has over the passengers. Now, I know you were a commercial pilot at one time. How long, just for the purposes of the audience, did you fly commercially?
Well, I flew commercially for 21 years. And then eventually retired and from that and went into private air service, charters, and freight.
All right, now, you saw the story here of this man standing up in the aisle and screaming at people, some political screed, and you've heard these stories before. The crew came down and talked to him, and apparently it calmed him down, but it didn't calm down the passengers nor the media. Eventually, this made its way into the mass media, and this man, they've been criticized kind of Monday morning quarterbacking.
Well, that's exactly what it is, a Monday morning quarterback. The pilot on that aircraft made the decision that this man had stood up, was in need somehow of expressing point of view, very deep-seated feelings, political feelings, and we live in a time right now, Phil. There is a great deal of rancor, a great deal of stress and need to express ourselves. We've very controversial election that we just went through, and the future for some people is a little bit uncertain. And this man, in his own way, was trying to reassure people that the future looked bright.
Now, excuse me for a minute, Art. This is Margaret.
Can I just finish my point?
I'm going to take exception with one thing. You're saying this man was encouraging people they was trying to make them feel better.
Well, I think so, because he was telling people, yeah, it's Mr. Trump is the president. And
but he was calling everybody bitch and this kind of thing.
Some people express themselves differently. But let's just for the moment say that he wasn't. Let's say he was out of control, and he was insulting people.
Are you saying that that's how you would have dealt with him?
Yes, I would have, because I've been through those situations. And what I did in the past is, if someone was standing up in the aisle yelling and screaming at people, I would come out of the cockpit. And I'd sit down in one of the passenger seats, lean forward with my elbows on my knees, my fingers crossed in front of me, and stare at the man. Or it generally was a man, sometimes it was a woman, and I would just stare. Now, they look at you, and you're wearing your captain's uniform. You have your fingers folded in front of you. You have your elbows on your knees, and you're looking at them. And you're giving them the following look. It's something that we learn. It's a combination of, go ahead, I'd love to hear the rest of what you're saying, and if I hear one thing wrong, Your throat will come right out of your neck. Now, I know that that is violent.
Oh, for Christ's sake, are you kidding me, Art?
I know it sounds violent.
You're saying that you are looking at someone with intense hostility.
Yes, combined with real interest. So there is a...
I want to ask you, how can you do that?
Phil, every time you interrupt me, you go... I don't understand that.
How do you do that?
How do I do what?
How do you look at someone with a combination of intense hostility and interest?
I look at them. I have my elbow... You heard what I said, right?
Yeah, put his elbows on his knees.
I know he's got his elbows on his knees. Okay?
What's on his knees? You know?
Oh, baby.
Hey! That's pretty funny.
No, I don't think it's funny at all.
Tell me how this is done.
You lean forward with your elbows on your knees and your fingers folded in front of you, and you stare at the person, and you have inside of you the need to hear them, but if you hear something wrong, the throat comes out of the neck. The throat comes out, and that's what you repeat to yourself. The throat comes out of the neck.
What kind of a violent and hostile kind of thing is that? You're the captain of a passenger aircraft, all right? You are the person who is charged with the safety of those people.
Yeah, bingo, right there. I am the person charged with the safety of those people. And if I hear a guy talking and he's making sense, great. The minute he stops making sense, I'll go up and place my thumb on one side of the carotid artery. I'll put my fingers, kind of the claw grip, on the other side.
All right, Art, I don't want to hear where this is going, if you don't mind.
Well, Margaret seems to doubt that I can do it. Don't ever doubt me, Margaret. Please don't. Not when I was a pilot for some 21 years, a commercial pilot. Please don't ever doubt that I can go up and put my thumb...
Yes, yes, yes. You put your thumb on one side.
Oh, okay. So you want to minimize my skills.
Nobody's minimizing your skills. What we are saying, though, is we find that to be a very, not only difficult to believe, but also...
You're calling calling me a liar.
No, I'm not calling you a liar.
Yeah, chill out, Mr. Grego.
My name isn't Grego, as I've told you 600 times.
I apologize, Mr. Grego.
600 times I've told you. Okay?
But okay, I'm sorry.
600.
What do you mean 600?
I've counted them. That was the 600th time. Are you going to hang up on me?
Yeah, in about 30 seconds, I'm going to hang up on you.
All right, let me just finish. So what I do is I look at that person. 9 times out of 10, what that person needs more than anything else, Phil, is a pat on the back, a pat on the rear end, like you do in football, not anything sexual, but you go ahead and you pat them and rub a little bit on the bottom, okay? And are you there, Phil?
I'm here, yeah. What do you want me to say?
Nothing.
All right, so you give the guy a pat on the butt and you rub a little bit. No one does that in football, by the way.
Excuse me, but I think I've seen it a couple of times.
No, you haven't.
Well, all right. No, I haven't. Get a load of this guy. I'm talking to a guy over here.
All right, can you please...
So you give him a pat on the rear end or a pat on the back, and you tell them, job well done. And that, I think, encourages them to then sit down and keep their mouths shut. And that's the last thing I say to them. I say, okay, are you done? And they'll say, no, I'm not done, because that insults them. And I say, well, yes, you are. And I'll walk over to them, and I'll put one hand on one shoulder, the other hand on another shoulder. I'll lean in and whisper in their ear so that no one can see it. It almost looks like I'm giving them a kiss on the cheek. And I'll say, if you don't sit down now, one of my thumbs will go on the right side.
All right, so you threaten to rip the guy's throat out.
Yes. And that generally will, very slowly, they sink down into their seat. And then I will step back and I'll applaud like this. I'll go, that was very good, like that. And when I do that, then the entire cabin erupts in applause. And people think, well, you know, this captain's a pretty good guy. You let the man have his say.
All right, we're talking here with...
What happened there?
No, I'm just waiting for you to finish. We're talking here with Art Griego, a former commercial pilot, on the incidents of people creating a scene in the main cabin, yelling at people, getting angry, so on and so forth. And your method is to just let them go ahead and do their thing.
Yes, because that's all they want.
All right, we'll get to our panel here. Margaret?
Yes, Art, you know, you've been on the program many times, and we valued your experience as a pilot. You're talking about ripping a man's throat out. You're also talking about hearing a man very patiently express his point of view. What if what the man is saying is a raving lunacy? If he's talking about blowing the plane to hell and back, if he's talking about killing everyone on the plane, if he's talking about flying the aircraft into the Eiffel Tower or the White House or some other beloved monument, what then do you do? Are you sitting there? Are you telling us that you are leaning forward casually and giving the man an ear as to what he wants?
You have to do that, Margaret.
So you're taking him seriously.
You have to take him seriously. If the guy is saying, and when I get done with all of you suckers, I'm going to fly this plane. I had a guy do that one time. He said, when I get done with all you suckers, I'm going to fly this plane into the what's the thing on the mountain? What do they call it?
What do you mean, the thing on the mountain?
What's the thing with the big, everybody's kissers up on a mountain?
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, Mount, this guy was going to fly the jet right into Mount Rushmore. And I just leaned forward and I went, oh, yeah? Uh-huh. Like that.
So you're going to let the guy do it?
No. Did I say I was going to let the guy do it? I was leaning forward on my, and I said, are you done? And he goes, what kind of a smartass are you? I said, I'm the captain smartass. That's the one that I am.
You really said to the guy?
Yeah. I said, you're all finished, huh? I said, because I don't want to interrupt you if you've still got more to say. He said, yeah, that's all I want to say. I said, all right. Then I walk over to him, and I go, that's very interesting, so that everybody can hear. But I lean forward, and I say, I'm going to take my thumb and put it near the carotid artery.
All right, so you're threatening to rip his throat out.
Yes, but if you let... I'm going to rip it out if you can sit down and kiss my ass. And you'd be surprised that very slowly they sink down in their seat, and they look at you like you're something out of the fifth ring of Hades, of Dante's own hell furnace. That's the only way I can put it.
All right, so you're something out of hell.
No. You're something out of the fifth ring of Dante's hell. That's what you look like.
All right, so what's that mean?
It means that guy... What does it mean? It means that guy is going to take me, you know, seriously.
Yes, the man's going to take you seriously, and he's going to sit slowly back in his seat, and he's going to be a good boy.
Yeah, there you go. Hey! And that's exactly what I do. When the guy's done with his speech, I go, yay. And then I'll say, are you all finished? And he'll say, oh, we got a smartass in the crowd. I said, yeah, we do. I'm Captain Smartass. And that's when he knows he's got a guy, you know.
All right, so you are a one-man security team. You're a one-man, I dare say, a one-man air marshal, pilot. Yeah, you're an air marshal, a pilot, all rolled into one.
Well, you know, if the shoe fits. You know, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but yeah, that's kind of what I am. You know, the Israelis, they pack heat there on the aircraft. They have weapons.
What do you mean pack heat?
The Israeli LL, they all carry guns. Okay, they don't fool around. And I hope that with President Donald Trump coming into power, that the day has finally arrived that we can go on board bristling with weapons so that anyone that thinks they're going to get out of hand. And there's a lot of different things, Phil, that happen on an aircraft.
Well, you're talking about bristling with weapons. You're saying that you would have the barrels of guns sticking out everywhere.
No, but I would say I would be allowed to carry at least, I would have three holsters, both under each armpit, and then a sidearm, like a belt holster, like one of in the Old West, and you tie it around your leg.
You're going to walk on an aircraft like that?
Yes, I am, under a Trump administration. Okay, and that's what I'm talking about.
But nothing says that President Trump's going to let that happen.
He's got no choice. The NRA is going to be expecting a lot of concessions, and this is going to help us protect our aircraft. So I'm going to come on board. And I'm going to have weapons. My pilots will have weapons. We'll have guns. And anyone that wants to throw down, anyone that wants to skin that smoke wagon, it's going to be fantastic.
Okay, Wyatt Earp. Well, thanks a lot.
Now, Phil, you're being a smartass now, but in your...
There is
Art Griego, and you know, this started out as how do you deal with someone who is a passenger that is unruly, and now we have him quite, I'll quote him again, bristling with weapons.
They're talking about bristling with a weapon.
It means he's got nothing but weapons on him. And then he says he's going to skin that smoke wagon.
What's that mean?
He's going to have a drawdown at high noon. You know, like he's going to be at one end of the street. I don't know how you do that unless it's one guy at one end of the aisle.
Yeah, there's a guy at the other end of the aisle.
Well, he'd have to be down there in the third, in the main cabin lavatory.
What do you mean?
That's the other end of the aisle.
Yes, right.
Yeah, okay, and he's
up near the cockpit door.
All right, folks, thank you, Margaret. General Shaw, any thoughts from you?
No, I don't. I got no thoughts other than good luck editing the show tonight.
What?
Don't laugh like an ass and a half, okay? But it really tightens my jaws. Okay, that's it for the show, folks. We appreciate each and every one of you and the time and the love and the consideration.
Yeah, world famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, Mr. Henry's going to be at the Hollywood Improv Lab on Friday night, 8 o'clock. Phil Henry and friends. Going to have Frazier Smith. Going to have Nick Rutherford. Going to have Henry Phillips. Going to have Valerie Gregson. Going to have Dave Oliver. Going to have Phil Henry.
Damn right.
All right, goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Phil Henry Show.
Damn right.
Famous Phil Henry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California and everything.
That's not the way you do it.
Executive produced by Mr. I forgot. Executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, All Rights Reserved, Podcast One. Yeah.